with ModHop.com founder Jake Redman and travel junkie Anthony Ryan.
I had you potted up on the clean feed, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's napping. And then I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I sat down on the chair, and I'm kind of like, maybe I could just catch a couple Z's. I'm not going to take a long nap. I never do. If I take a nap more than a half an hour, I'm effed for the rest of the day. So I was thinking 10-minute cat nap, but I can't with the headphones on.
So you had the headphones on in case I joined?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have woken you up with my dulcetone vocals.
Is that what those are?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Is that like dulce de leche?
Exactly like it.
What does that mean? That's caramel cake?
What's up?
It's raining outside. Don't give me sad puppy dog eyes. It's not going to work. It's still raining outside. Go watch cartoons for half an hour. Oh, jeez. It's raining outside.
Right.
Hello.
Caramel made from slowly cooking down granulated sugar.
Please hold while Anthony Googles.
Oh, I see.
By itself or with a splash of water. Dulce de leche is made from slowly cooking cow milk and sugar together. I just Googled it. I'm sure there's more to it.
I can't really hear you. You're Googling from here.
Type. But actually, I'm tapping.
All right. Well, tippity tap.
Yeah. How does that even sound like? Just like
pop, yeah, pop. Yeah, I don't know. It would just be nothing. You know, there's a piece of imaging I was working for when I did The Coffee House, which is a channel on Sirius XM that plays, you know, acoustic favorites, you know, coffee house type stuff. And, you know, we had the series where it would sound like you're walking into a coffee shop, and I used like the old creaky door, bells hanging on the door coffee shop vibe for the whole series. And it would be a shout out to whatever coffee shop in whatever locality there is, you know, like Plan B in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But someone had said to me, it's like, why don't you use like a more modern sounding door? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like something that's you would hear if you walked into like a Starbucks. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like anything. So it's basically just silence.
They want you to use like a space vault opening or something?
Just like you opening like a, I don't know, doors are designed to not make any noise anymore, you know?
I feel like doors, though, are still pretty universal. They're still, those are the types of sound effects that might last.
Well, there's
decades.
Only way you're going to, one kind of door that you're going to know what it is. You know, if it's got a little bit of a creak to it, or if it's, you know, if I open a Starbucks door, it's like a, there's no signature to it. There's no uniqueness to it. It could be you opening a door or some other random thing. I just don't think that someone could pick that up, right?
Well, it's not like you're using like sound effects like a rotary phone in a cafe.
You know, a lot of things don't make much sound anymore.
An old typewriter.
They work too hard on making things quiet, and now it does nothing works for sound effects. But I have some sound designer friends who might have some ideas for us, but we'll get into that when we talk about our jobs next.
Is that this episode?
Yeah, this is a completely separate podcast now.
I've been napping a whole day. I took off today.
Why would you take a day off we get half the day off anyway?
I don't know. Did
you know summer Fridays have been extended till next March?
All year Friday?
This
has been my dream, all year Fridays.
Did you see the email that they've closed the office officially until end of March next year?
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. I feel like
it'll have been a year.
I have to. Yeah, that's over a year now we've been, or you've been in, you snuck in somehow.
I snuck in one day after. I was hoping I would be able to stop in, you know, twice a week. You know, I figured my logic was that, well, everybody else is at home, so there's no danger in just me coming in. But they were like, no, because of course, you know, in retrospect, you start to think about it and you're like, oh, if I do it, then somebody else is going to want to do it. And then somebody else is going to want to do it. So they whittle it down to only essential employees. And now here I am in my daughter's bedroom making radio imaging and doing podcasts. When it's getting better, what more people are doing now is flying again.
Oh yeah. This is a travel podcast, right?
Yeah. In case you were unaware, there are people getting back in the air. And I read, or I saw actually, news report on it, I think on ABC. We're longing for the day we can rip the mask off and be normal again. And now it's been found that with mask compliance, when it comes to COVID-19, it's pretty safe to fly.
With compliance.
Yes. A study performed by the Department of Defense with the cooperation of the United States, with the cooperation of United Airlines, shows that with over 180 million particles released into the tested aircraft, that's equivalent to thousands of coughs. Over 99% of those particles left the aircraft within 6 minutes, which is pretty fast.
What is the average amount of coughs on an airplane?
I don't know. I think they overshot, because I don't think it's thousands of coughs.
That's incredible, though.
But I guess, I don't know. I guess if there are, you know, 200 people on an airplane and everybody coughs twice, that's 400. If everybody coughs three times, that's... I'm making myself too mad.
They should have like a quarantine corner on a plane if you think you're sick.
I don't know if some airlines... I'd have to look into that. I think that I've heard of some airlines, if someone starts to feel sick, they'll find a spot for you in a different part of the plane that's as away from other passengers as you could. What they did for this test was they had specially configured mannequins that they placed on board in a way that simulates a full flight, but only studies seated passengers. It doesn't measure normal movement in the cabin. The IATA last week, though, pointed out that only 44 cases of COVID have been recorded as caused by flying on airplanes. Most of those were early in the pandemic.
Wow.
So your risk factor is pretty good. It should be pointed out that the Department of Defense study, too, is ongoing and isn't yet peer-reviewed. Plus, even if the plane were guaranteed to be totally COVID-free, you've still got the airport and possibly those holiday crowds to deal with in the coming months. And I don't know how you get to the airport, but if you're taking transportation or even an Uber, you know, there are other risk factors getting to and from the airport. So travel's not just the airplane.
That's for sure. Speaking of which, I can update you on my padre.
Yeah, where's your dad?
He is at home.
He made it.
Quarantining upstairs.
Yeah. Is your mom making him quarantine? Is it a voluntary quarantine or?
Voluntary, yeah.
Okay.
So my mom and my sister live in the same house with my dad. But what they did was they drove two cars up. They each drove a car to the airport, JFK. Then when my dad arrived, they made him meet at the departures gate.
Okay.
Instead of the arrivals, in order to like circumvent the crowds.
And, right, less traffic.
But apparently it was pretty quiet anyway.
Good.
Nevertheless, they both park, and then my mom gets in my sister's car, and then my dad gets in his car, and then he drives it home.
Okay, so he's alone the whole time, and then they shuffle him right up to the upstairs bedroom?
Right, and they even left most of the luggage in the car to sort of settle for a couple days.
All right.
And yeah, I mean, they plan it out pretty well. I think the only thing is now they have to sort of be my dad's servant, kind of bringing him food and stuff. And then
does he have a bell?
So. I know, right?
Does he have a little bell, or does he just call with his cell phone?
I almost wish they got the Google, the mesh network thing. It also acts like, I think I read it, it acts kind of like a speaker system where you can actually talk to other speakers in the house.
Oh, that'd be great. Like an old intercom system.
Kind of, yeah.
I found a friend of ours, actually, John Kerber. He lives in central Pennsylvania, I guess, Scranton area. But his house has one of those old, what's the brand name that it's like Dumont or DuPont? No, it's not a DuPont, it's something, but they were in a lot of those old homes, like mid 20th century homes. But they were the in-house intercom systems. And my grandparents used to have one. I thought they were the coolest thing ever. So I think it's kind of cool that we're getting back to technology that we can talk to people in other parts of the house.
So is it the Newtone one?
Newtone. That's the name. I don't know where I got DuPont.
So, you were close.
Well, DuPont's chemical, so I don't really know.
Yeah. Think about all the ideas that we had back then.
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't have necessarily the technology to keep them afloat, but
I just think we're sort of a lot of old technology is resurfacing in new technology, and just as cool as it was before. I tend to utilize that technology in our house where we don't need it because I live in 850 square feet, but I like to make announcements in the next room when I could easily just say it out loud and someone would hear me.
Why move? Like, just lay there, announce it.
Well, it's more fun that way.
Exactly.
Speaking of United, The airline made it known in its most recent earnings call that it has plans for an aggressive return to JFK, speaking of JFK, in 2021. The airline pulled out of the New York City airport back in 2015, saying that they were losing money on routes there. New-ish CEO Scott Kirby says that decision was the wrong one and says his team has been using the pandemic to help resecure spots there. Kirby is confident that the work will bring a return to transcon routes between JFK to San Francisco and Los Angeles and to United hubs. They've got work cut out for them, though, with American and Delta, who both hub at JFK, but it's not United's first rodeo there or with premium transcon offerings, so it should be interesting to watch.
Good for us. I mean, we both have the United card, right?
Yeah, and I always like to fly out of JFK, and I don't know why. I'm glad that they moved a premium product to Newark, because for some reason, I never understood why they hubbed at Newark, but their premium transcon product was only out of JFK. Like, you'd fly a single aisle A319 back from San Francisco to Newark for the same amount of time that you do on the San Francisco JFK route. But if you fly to JFK, you know, you've got a fully flat seat in business class, or, you know, sometimes more room in the back. So I didn't quite understand that layout, but I never really expected them to fully pull out of JFK like they did. So it's good to see them moving back that way. Hopefully they keep a premium product in both.
Right on.
And Finnair found a creative way to bring back some of its catering staff amidst the ongoing pandemic. Head to your local K-City supermarket in Finland, and you'll find packaged versions of Finnair's international business class food offerings. Kind of a good idea. Wow. CNN Travel reports that you'll find favorites like reindeer meatballs or smoked char. What's smoked char?
I don't know where they're coming up with this stuff. It's like they're coming up with it out of thin air.
I shouldn't laugh, but it is a little funny. There are currently two mains on offer during the week and an appetizer added on the weekend that go for roughly $15 and $7 respectively. Makes me wonder what the demand would be for a U.S. carrier to do the same.
Yeah.
Would you buy an entree from, say, Delta?
No. At this point, I'm used to bringing my own food.
I mean, I think the only domestic example of that would be Biscoff cookies, which are served on multiple airlines and available at your local grocery store. But
hey,
that's kind
of, you know what you just reminded me of?
What?
What are they called again? Stroop waffles?
Oh, Stroop waffles. Stroop waffles are readily available now, too. I can get those at the bodega next to my house now.
I know, right?
It used to be
a little piece of aviation.
It used to be I'd only find those if I were flying KLM.
Really?
And maybe, yeah, I feel like that was the only, I think there was a domestic that had them too. United's got them now. Maybe I'm just noticing them more now because they're sort of popular. But I'd actually like to see what people think of that. If Delta or United, or if there's a favorite dish or a favorite in business class that someone would pay money for at the grocery store. Maybe I'll do a Twitter or IG poll.
Yeah, I'll participate.
All right, at ModHop on both Instagram and Twitter. That was from CNN Travel. I don't know. I just can't think of a certain any time flying a U.S. airline that the food maybe just go wow. You know, Japan Airlines had probably one of the best food services that I've ever seen in first class. I think it was a first class flight I flew from, I want to say, somewhere in Germany to Tokyo, Narita. And it was like a 5-7 course meal with all these different offerings, and they were all sort of small dishes. But I doubt they would translate in a frozen foods section. But
you know, I'm surprised that a place like a fast food chain like a McDonald's has not partnered up with an airline to serve food.
Yeah, you'd think
it's so cheap. Right?
Yeah, it would be. I think that would be tough in modern times. I think that. I'm surprised it never happened in, say, the 90s. I just think there are too many people who want healthier options now for that to happen.
Right. Just well, because that's the thing. I mean,
I don't think people, that, you know, if you put a McDonald's salad on a Delta flight, that people would be like, salad from McDonald's, okay.
Well, that's the thing. That's the problem they have is the image, and people don't see them as a healthy food company, whereas if they had, like, exclusivity with an airline, you're forced to pick their salad, and then you realize, oh, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah. I remember on Sun Country Airlines, they did a thing with, I think, Manny's Steakhouse in Minneapolis, that they served the, I think they served Manny's garlic bread. They would serve it in first class with a steak. And this was, I want to say this was recently as the aughts. And that was the last time I saw, I think, a steak in first class on a domestic flight. But they had Manny's garlic bread, and they would put it with a little placard that had Manny's logo on it and a little thing that says, this is a sample of blah, blah, blah. Stop by Manny's when you're in Minneapolis. And I thought it was kind of a cool touch to see that kind of partnership. And it's, you know, there are a lot of chef partnerships that, you know, lead to, you know, point at a certain chef who owns certain restaurants in New York or LA or Paris or whatever. But you're right. I haven't seen really a full scale food or like restaurant chain / airline partnership.
Right on. Wouldn't that be fun if you're flying like Air Italia and it was Olive Garden?
Or, you know, sampling from different restaurants. You know, you could have an Olive Garden entree and an Applebee's, you know, ribs entree.
That's great already. Or you could have like a taco from Taco Bell and fried chicken from KFC.
They're just the logistics wise. I think we're just sort of talking ourselves out of this idea.
I think I want some bats right now.
And now we're like, oh, I see why they don't do it.
This is a terrible idea.
Too complicated. So get some Finnair food next time you're in Finland without flying there. But of course, you have to fly there to get there, unless you live in Finland. I forget that we're a podcast and we could be global.
Do we have any Finnish listeners?
Probably not.
Well, check the statistics.
I mean, I could look at the statistics. Maybe there's one. I don't know. If you're in Finland, check in and let us know.
To that person.
Yeah, if you're in Finland, if you're a Finnish listener, please chime in. And if you've tried the Finnair offerings at K Supermarket or whatever it was, let us know how they taste.
Yeah. Thank you.
Reindeer meatballs. What are reindeer meatballs? Well, I suppose it's reindeer meat?
Yes.
Oh, poor Donner.
Oh, I think it was Vixen.
I don't think there is a Vixen, is there?
I don't know. Did I make that up?
I think it's Blitzen.
Blitz.
We're gonna get a fight. We're gonna get in a fight over reindeer. So that's all I got. Oh, no travel plans. I just see more airplanes in the sky and I look up and get depressed.
Oh, so sad.
I know, but I'm seeing, you know, it's less depressing now because at least you see them. For the longest time you just didn't see airplanes.
Still not flying, but
I'm not talking you into it.
Not yet. Not with the recent uptick.
Yeah,
not just here, but in the world.
We'll wait for the next lull.
You got to time it right. It's like the stock market.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I feel about it right now. And now you see these upticks, and you're like, okay, maybe I'll back away from the playground for a little bit.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fluid thing.
Speaking of fluid, get your flu shot.
Fluid?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fluid flu shot. I got mine yesterday.
For free, right?
Yeah, with the Walgreens.
Nice.
They give you a free red Band-Aid with the Walgreens logo on it.
Ooh, I want that.
Yeah. Do it for the free Band-Aid. Get your flu shot because it'll help. Well, help you not get the flu.
Yeah, because if you get the flu, you're going to be like, oh, crap, do I have
It'll avoid any confusion later. It's usually free, and it's an easy shot. It's not like a 16-gauge needle.
Oh, God.
It's like a little tiny prick. My daughter, hold on, I gotta get her. How did you, Olivia? What does a flu shot feel like?
It feels like just a little drip of hot water.
Like a little drip of hot water.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting way of describing it.
Yep, thanks for your help, honey.
You're welcome.
Love you.
Love you too, Daddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's...
She's a trooper, wow. It ain't nothing to her.
I wish we should have like a medical minute with my daughter. Yeah. I'll add that to our list of upcoming features. Well, all right then. That's all I got.
What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Hivashti.
What does that mean?
Goodbye in Finnish.
Oh, you Googled that too.
I don't know if I pronounce it right, but Maybe our one Finnish listener can correct me. Correct.
At Mod Hop on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the Mod Hop Podcast.
The Mod Hop Podcast with Jake Redman and Anthony Ryan.
CNN Travel reports that you'll find favorites like reindeer meat dolls.
Sounds tasty.